Welcome to Comically Comics, your one-stop listen to all things comics. We're talking books, movies, TV shows, video games, and more. I must forewarn you, though, we are a spoiler cast, and what that means is we consider all properties, past, future, and present, to be valid, and we will spoil the hell out of them. I'm your host, Michael, along with my two co-hosts, Richard and Jeremy, and with all that being said, let's get started.
All right, it is Sunday, June 7th, and we are back with some more Spider-Noir from Amazon. We're going to be doing episodes 3, Double Cross, and 4, A Mistake I'll Never Make Again. This should take us to that halfway season point. And let's start off with episode 3. And we find out what's going on with Flint Marko. We find out some new information about Kat that has to do with Addison. Money is being stolen and exchanged and all kinds of noir-style stuff. So, Jeremy, what is your whelming of this episode?
I will say I'm whelmed, pleasantly whelmed, kind of still like I was last week. It was a good episode. There wasn't a whole lot of action necessarily happening in this one, but it was still I enjoyed it, and it's still kind of in the same realm of last week where it's nothing like that's crazy exciting, but it's kind of got me interested a little bit. So, like I said, whelmed, pleasantly whelmed.
All right, then. Richard, what's your whelming?
I wrote, I was pleasantly whelmed.
Wow.
I really liked this episode a lot, even though there was barely any Spider-Maning in it. But I like the whole finding the rat and then like the setup at the end. I thought that was really cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm just gonna let y'all know I'm getting in that whole like meh area when it comes to this one. Like,
oh yeah,
I think I came to somewhat of a realization of like, you know, we talked about early on Marvel stuff, how they were taking genres and just making comic book movie, like doing those genres but with comic book people, and it was like that's the best. Like, uh-huh. Do this with everything.
Yeah,
and it's like. It's like Sony listened, and they're like, oh, let's do a noir with Spider-Man. And so that's what we're getting. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know that I want that anymore. Like, now that I'm seeing it, I'm like, I don't know that I want this. So,
yeah. I think it would have been better. The reason why I keep saying, like, any of the Spider-Maning, like, the thing that we get in... I watched these back-to-back, so now it's all jumbled up in my head. The thing where he, like, becomes the spider to go, like, investigate in Silvermane's, like, penthouse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's this episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted, like, all the stuff where Ben goes and does PI work, just have him be in the Spider-Man suit. And instead of it being, like, on foot, he's, like, web-slinging through the city and crawling on walls to, like, you know, investigate or whatever. And then maybe he changes into Ben to, like, ask some people some questions or whatever it needs to be. Because, like, for the most part, this episode was just straight up, like, a noir movie. Like, it was just a noir, like, style movie with very little Spider-Man in it.
Right. My wife missed this episode and, like, caught the tail end of the next episode. And one of the things I told her, I was like, this is probably the most Spider-Man that I've seen in these two episodes, talking about the end of the fourth one. And she's like, really? And I said, yeah. I said, it's kind of disappointing, I'm not going to lie. And another thing that I've noticed with this TV show as well is that it's especially these two last episodes, for me, it's like it lost its humor. And that was one of the things that I enjoyed about it, was the humor that it had. And I feel like it's like kicking that off to the side. And I don't like that.
Yeah, I can see that. Because, I don't know, I didn't really find any of the humor stuff in the other one that funny.
Yeah.
But mostly the things that I find is just, like, weird decisions that, like, they do. But, yeah, I can see that. At least I can understand that.
Mm. So the episode starts off with Silvermane hiring Ben Reilly to sit there and investigate, like, who turned him in as far as like the liquor bust and whatnot. And Riley goes to like talk to the cops and like figure out who told who to go and do what, because several of them are injured.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got done talking about the humor stuff, but this part tickled me. I'm not gonna lie. He's talking to the last one out of the three, and he's like, "May I remind you that you're laying in bed on your stomach because you got shot in the ass?"
Yeah. I loved that whole investigation because he was putting on like a different persona and voice, and he was doing the whole like, "Meh, you see, meh, meh, see." And that part was really cracking me up.
Yeah, I liked that. I enjoyed that too.
When Silvermane goes in to Ben's private investigation office, he gives his real name. He says, "I'm Finn Byrne. Finbar Byrne is his full name." And I thought that was interesting because in the comics, Silvermane is Silvio Manfredi. So I was like, why has he got a completely different name than the comic?
Huh. I was talking to some folks about this whole thing, about how like it didn't make sense to change him to Peter and all this other kind of stuff. Actually, it was the live chat that I do on Mondays. And one of them brought up, I think it was Trev the Shipping Guru, he brought up that the rights may be the reason why that like they can't use Peter, like him to have the name Peter Parker. It may be like a whole, you can't do a TV show by yourself now, because how many times the rights have changed with Peter Parker between Marvel and Spider-Man? It's like they change every year as far as like what they can do and whatnot like that. And so that may be the reason why he's not Peter Parker.
Yeah. I've heard something. Again, I have not watched ahead, so I've heard something that he may actually be called Peter Parker. I'll just say that.
I heard something like that as well. That it was like you'd kind of find out later on, like there's new information or whatever. Also, but what I was going to get to that was that may be why Silvermane had a name change. Like, he may not be able to use that real name because of the comic rights or something along those lines, and so they may have to change it for the TV show.
I think you are 100% nailing on the head, because there are a couple of characters that are in this show that I'm like, oh, that person would have been this person, but they probably didn't have the rights to it. But perfect example, I 100% believe now that we got more of a backstory. It's in the next episode, so I'm getting ahead of myself. But, like, of what happened to Ruby? Ruby was supposed to be Gwen. Ruby was 100% supposed to be Gwen.
Oh.
And I think, so, Addison Molten Man, his real name isn't Addison in the comics. I forget what it is, but it's not Addison.
Yeah.
I'll talk about that when we get to the second episode. I'm getting ahead of myself, because I was supposed to say the Electro guy that we see in the next episode, that ain't who you think it is.
Okay.
Screw it. I'll just say it. You're supposed to think that it's Max Dillon, and it's not Max Dillon. It's actually Megawatt, which is Dirk Layden.
Seriously?
Seriously.
So not Electro?
Not Electro.
Wow. Okay. I thought Megabot was like a Darkwing Duck character or something.
I think it is a Darkwing Duck. I know which one. You're talking about the robot?
Robot guy. I forgot about him.
He's got the plug for a hat.
Yeah.
Like he's got the two things that come up like.
You look like Batman with the long ears.
Oh, fuck off.
But yeah, no, it's Megawatt, and he's a very obscure electric powered villain that Spider-Man has faced. There's not a lot of information on him. So I'm like, this feels like Sony was like, you can't have Electro, but you can have Megawatt.
Sony or Marvel?
I'm thinking it's Sony, because Sony, I think, has all the rights to Spider-Man things. Like, as far as
television. So why wouldn't they get to use it in their own property, though?
Probably because it's being put on Amazon. I will try to find some research. I've been looking to figure out like what the hell's going on behind the scenes for this show.
Yeah.
I currently don't know. I want a like tell all, like a docuseries or something about how this show was made.
I wonder if Sony has certain movie rights, but they don't have like all the TV show rights. And I wonder if that's what it is, where it's like, oh, we want to utilize Electrode in this TV show. And Marvel's like, I bet you do. Sorry, that's not going to happen. Try making another one of those villain movies you like to do, assholes.
Please, God, like, no.
Fine, we'll
no
take more. Gigawatt then, or Megawatt, or whatever his name is.
So, like, one of the things that kind of, I know it's, change the subject a little bit, but like, you know, last week we were talking about the budget of this one, and I still don't know where it's going, because like there was a scene like that really stuck out to me, that it was whenever Ben is talking to Silvermane up on this is the right episode, yeah, Ben's talking to Silvermane up on like in his penthouse, whatever, out on the balcony, and like it just looked like they just like printed off a background and just sat it up there. Like it was just like, what was going on in the city. I'm like, does have that much money into this show? Like why does it look that bad?
It was hand painted and imported from France.
I'll be honest with you. The old way of doing things were, they did have hand painted, like, in other words, back in the day, not even like that far back in the day, but like especially back in the day, black and white, those backgrounds a lot of the times were just hand painted murals that they just threw up.
Yeah,
they may have done it for that. I don't know. I watched it in black and white again. I'm going to continue watching in black and white. I didn't really notice it that well. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say like that may have been the issue, is like I was watching that part in color. So it may have.
Oh, boo. Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I don't really get anything that special from it being in black and white, except for maybe one scene in this episode. But I think some of the budget is going to, there are big giant sets with lots of extras in old timey clothes, in old timey cars, walking the streets, driving the streets. That probably costs a ton of money. Plus, there is the VFX. So far, the VFX looks pretty good. There's still something off about seeing, I don't know, something's off about whenever he's like swinging through the city. It looks too smooth. I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're doing like 30 frames or 60 frames a second, but it's weird looking.
Yeah. I can agree with that. It doesn't feel like it fits. Like it does feel off a little bit. The thing that I read as far as the budget goes was Nicolas Cage, and they tried to make a very authentic 1930s set, like what you were talking about with the people driving the clothing and all that other jazz. They said that was like the biggest parts of the budget was Nicolas Cage and set. Because I was looking it up because I was, you know, we got that short out for it, and so I was like, what was it? And so that's what it came up as.
Yeah,
I guess I could. Yeah, I didn't really, obviously didn't think about that part of it. So, yeah, that makes sense.
You were there almost, because you're talking about the background. So, like, you were trying to piece it together.
Yeah.
I'm real curious as to which scene you're talking about, Richard, as far as the black and white goes, because there was a scene for me that I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm glad I watched this in black and white because of that.
It is the part where he's in Silvermane's penthouse and he like leaps up onto the ceiling and it's like pitch black, and then he clicks on his night vision goggles and then you can just see him like on the ceiling, and it's just like eyes and like a very vague silhouette of him. I thought that's cool. I was like, that was a cool use of using black and white, but it threw me off because I was like, they barely have radios at this time. He has fucking night vision goggles? Like, what?
See, I took it as just he had flashlights. Like, I didn't even take it as night vision because there was a click or whatever. So I just took it as, like, lights coming out, and that's it. Mm.
What do you watch it in color, Jeremy? What was it in color?
Now that part I didn't. I was in, like, I don't know. I just kind of go back and forth sometimes. So I didn't see that part
what?
In color.
What kind of monster are you? What are you doing?
Well, because like I'll be watching. Like I was watching part of it, and like I didn't wasn't able to finish it. And so whenever I came back, I was like, you know what? I'll just do it in black and white for the rest of the episode. So.
That is crazy. That is like, that is schizo, Jeremy.
Why? I would like to see it in both.
The only thing more monstrous is that is being halfway through a movie and be like, nah, I don't need to finish it. And
then right?
Just,
yeah.
Just
like. That is crazy to me. Like, I've seen enough.
And it's not even because you don't like it. Like, it's mm-hmm. one thing to just turn it off because you don't like it, but it's another to just be like, oh, no, I just, you know, whatever.
That is crazy.
Keeps you on your toes.
What? No! I'm supposed to be relaxing. I don't need to be on my toes.
So another funny part, I know we said it kind of wasn't funny, but I had another funny part. I like the part where he's at the payphone waiting for a phone call and a lady comes up and he's like, ah, this one's broke. He's like, you know, you got to go down, you know, whatever. And then it rings and then he goes and answers it and gets his information, then hangs up and he looks at her and he's like, I lied, and then just walks off.
It's like he's trying to get like prepared to give some excuse or explanation, but then he's like, I lied and just left.
Yeah. This, I will say, like, it's fun and entertaining, but this does not feel like Peter Parker at all. No. Like this character. So part of me is like, kind of wishes it was Ben Reilly, like it was a clone of him or something, but I don't know.
Oh, no.
No, I don't want the clone saga, but like it would at least make sense why he's not quite like Peter.
Clone saga in the 1930s.
We may get somewhere. I don't know. We may.
Since we talked about the whole like the night vision or whatever scene and mm-hmm. him crawling into the penthouse, I want to go ahead and hit that because that was like a pretty pivotal point of the show where Peter went in there. Not Peter, Ben went in there as the spider to Silvermane's like bedroom mm-hmm. and cracked his safe, not cracked it, but like he was able to listen, hear the clicks and all that other jazz and stole a grand out of it. He needed that grand to be able to pay off Addison's wife or widow. And so she could get out of town because she was the only one that knew who hired Addison to go and kill Silvermane. And the suspicion was, or he, you know, Reilly had figured out that Kat was the one who had done this. And I was like, son of a bitch, Richard really called this all the way back. So, and there was another moment as well in this episode where I was like, son of a bitch, Richard did it again. So, but yeah, with those bills though, we learned that earlier on in the story, Silvermane said, money tells the truth. And Silvermane's bills are marked. And mm-hmm. so Reilly had figured this out as well. I guess it was just luck of the draw, though, that he gave Addison's wife bills that were marked for Winston, his right-hand man.
Well, he made sure that he had Winston's because he met Winston at the bar and he told him about how, like, I forget the conversation that was had there, but Winston gives him money. And then Ben looks at it so he knows where the dot is, which I think the dot for him is like in the bottom left-hand corner. I forget where exactly, but...
with all the serial numbers.
Yeah, I think it was down at the bottom left-hand, and Katz was like up in the upper right-hand. So when he went to the safe, he made sure he got the ones that had Winston's mark on it.
Okay. I missed that part. I did not put two and two together. I am not a detective, even in imaginary world on TV.
Yeah. I like whenever they were going through that, like I didn't catch it like during the whole process necessarily, but whenever whenever they came to it and were kind of explaining it, I was like, oh, that's why he, like, because he saw him, like, kind of, he had mentioned that, you know, that Silvermane had marks all the bills and that kind of stuff. And you see him kind of, like, fan out the bills whenever he's looking at them in the safe, and, like, checking for that.
Mm-hmm. Which would be really hard with flashlights on your eyes, I'm just saying. I don't understand how those lenses work.
It's like
work.
A first headlamp.
It's an eye lamp.
It'd be really hot, especially with those bulbs back then. Could you imagine that? Your freaking eyeballs would catch on fire.
Yeah, you know what? I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, no, they would. Honestly, Ben should be blind. Like, every So, another point to, I don't know what the hell's going on behind the scenes and why they don't have, like, rights to certain characters or are using the names, is we see, like, Robbie goes to the Daily Bugle with a story, and he speaks to the editor-in-chief at the Daily Bugle, and it's, I was like, cool, we're gonna see JJ. Nope, it's some fucking guy called Howard Walters. And I'm like,
who?
Because I, like, not in the comics, not, just like Ruby, just made up for the show.
Oh, wow.
Poor Howie.
Poor nothing. I was like, where the fuck is my JJ?
No JJ, no Ben Urich, none of it.
Well, Robbie is at least a character from the comic books, but he's not a reporter or a photographer. He usually is the editor-in-chief, and JJ's also technically the editor-in-chief, but a lot of times he's just, like, the owner or the publisher.
Got you.
So maybe, like, at the end of this, it's like he's going to wake up and it's all been a dream. And it's like he created these characters or something.
You know what? I would actually be fine with that. That would explain so much. Like, as much as that's like a hated trope at this point, that would at least explain this world, because right now it's just weird to me.
And then that really starts the clone saga, and you've got Tom Holland on the one end as Peter Parker, and you got Nick Cage on the other as Ben Reilly.
Ben Reilly. I don't know if I like that.
It's Sony, that's what they would do.
Mm-hmm. You're right. No, you're absolutely right.
So, since we talked about Robbie, we got to talk about what he saw. He went down to go talk to Lincoln to figure out, to make the connections with Flint, Marco, and all the other jazz. And the police came down to Hooverville and were just ransacking the place. Lincoln comes out, and all of a sudden his powers, like come on full blast, like an X-Men or something. And he's got super strength, and he's unbreakable. And him and Flint tag up and just start beating up all these cops.
Mollywhopping the shit out of them.
And so, they made front page of the paper, and they messed up Robbie's story that he was trying to tell, and they made him look like monsters and all this other jazz. So, but I think this also helped Flint kind of get his job that he now has with Silvermane. So I guess it worked out for Flint a little bit. But Lincoln's also trying to work with Ben Reilly, and I don't really know where all that's going, though.
Yeah, I don't either. What did you think of Tombstone, like, when he manifests his powers?
I don't like him. He looks like a fucking dinosaur or something.
Same. I wrote, he looks like an armadillo.
Uh-huh.
What if that's what he's supposed to be?
I think
armadillo
it is.
Armadillo man?
Yeah, I really, well, like, I get why they didn't, because if you're watching in black and white, a man who has skin like granite looks exactly like a man who has skin like sand in black and white. Like, you can't tell the difference. But okay, then you don't put Sandman in the show, or you don't put Tombstone in the show. Because, like, I don't like those weird head bumps that come up, and I don't like the weird... I don't know what to call it, but the, like, it's almost like plated armor or something, like a armadillo, like kind of like how the back of an armadillo looks. Yeah, like, it's just weird and gross looking.
Yeah, no, it's very CW-ish. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. I kind of wonder if it looks better in color, but at the same time, I'm like, no, I'm watching this in black and white. Like, I hear what you're saying, but like, I feel like all you really got to do for Tombstone is just kind of make him like look like he's an albino, like, just like make his tone, his color a lot brighter than what it is now.
I mean, he is in the comics albino, and then he gets sprayed with that gas, and then it turns his skin into that like hard like granite, and then I think at that point he files his teeth real sharp, like a shark or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not for this version of it, because this version feels like a nicer version than the like the comic book version of Tombstone. But I'm not digging Tombstone. I thought I would, but then I saw it and I was like, ooh, I don't like that at all.
No, I'm not digging it. I feel like that's kind of what. Like they're kind of doing something here where there's like either the Germans experimented on this group or the United States experimented on this group or something like that. But I think I like the comic book version better of like these were just circus folk. They were just fucked up. So now they do this. Like I feel like I like that version a lot better than what we're getting.
I'm fine if one of them was a POW. In World War I, and they were experimented on by like some mad scientist. I don't like that all of them were experimented on at the same location, because that's just odd to me.
Yeah.
And I mean, I get like that makes the most sense because like all of them were experimented and all of them got powers, but like, I don't know, it like, add some more interesting like origin stories to some of these villains than just like, they were all experimented on. The end.
And maybe that's all I felt like they had story for, but like I don't know, some of the story I just don't care for, honestly. Like it's just not intriguing to me really at all. So
I get
however
that.
The end of the episode was probably the best part for me, where Silvermane, well actually Winston, is rounded up Riley and Kat because she was getting ready to leave because of her argument with Flint and how he feels like he's just a monster now, and rounded up Addison's wife because she was getting ready to leave out of town. And they're all there at this little side grave that's been dug already. And that's where the whole reveal of the markings on the bills will go back to Winston. And Silvermane knew that, as far as like he knew what his markings were for each individual person. And so Silvermane shot Winston, and he buried him. And I, like, did he shoot some other... It looked like it was another, like, flunky or whatever he shot and killed.
It's not revealed until the second episode that we watched, episode 4.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It ends on a stupid cliffhanger. Because he talks about... He's like, Ben, are you good with a shovel? And he's like, yeah, why? And he's like, because we're going to need another grave. And then it just, bam! And then it cuts to credits. And... then it's revealed that he shot Winston's like partner Geo.
Yeah.
And I was like, really, Geo? I thought if anything, it was going to be Addison's wife, whatever her name is, because she technically was one of the people that helped like try to kill him. And she's also a witness to all this. So I would assume she wouldn't want, or he wouldn't want her to live.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I was thinking it was because I was like, it's not going to be Ben because he just asked him if he could dig a grave.
Yeah.
Probably not going to be Kat because he's got a lot invested with her and like she already knows whatever kind of dirt. Mm-hmm. So if anybody, I did think it was going to be Addison's wife. So I'm with you on that. Jeremy, were you thinking the same or were you thinking else?
No, I really was. And I didn't really know that guy was there until he was like explaining it in the next episode.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, they were like, oh, no, he shot Geo. And again, I was just like,
who?
He had rock powers. We just never saw them. Yeah. Hence the name.
Yeah.
He can only ever play rock and rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one thing I'm glad we watched both episodes, because the way that cliffhanger ended, I was just like, this would have pissed me off as like the end of the episode. I would have been so mad. The last thing I had that I forgot to mention when you were talking about, when he was picking the safe, like when he was putting in the combination, he was using his Spidey sense to do it. And I was like, that's not how Spidey sense works.
That's what
what are y'all doing?
Yeah. That's really what I was like, why is it? I don't understand this. Cause like that doesn't, I've never seen that before. I was like, why would he need to do that? Or how would he even do that? So
it only works when he's in, like when he senses danger. Yeah. That is literally it. And I'm like, unless there's like a bomb that goes off when you put in the wrong code, like there shouldn't be any danger there.
Yeah.
I just thought he was being over paranoid and he thought he kept hearing things. And so the Spidey sense was going off. Like I didn't even sit there and put it in connection with the lock.
Maybe he did. Overanalyzed it, but it seemed like he was using the Spidey sense to detect whenever he was like near the right code. And I was just like, that's not how that works. That's not how any of this works.
No, you're probably right, because that's some stupid shit. So, like, that's about par.
Yeah. Pretty much. But that's cool. It for me.
All right. Did you hear me?
Yeah, I'm good.
Awesome. On to episode 4, A Mistake I'll Never Make Again. You've got Ben Reilly giving us the story of Ruby, his fiance. So we kind of get the background of that. We get the confession from Kat. Like actual confession that she sat there and paid Addison to go kill Silvermane. We get another little fight scene with another metahuman in this episode as well. Silvermane taking on the mayor, and Kat winds up finding out about Ben's little secret as well. So, Jeremy, what is your whelming of this episode?
I was pleasantly whelmed with this one. I thought it was pretty good. I enjoyed the fight scene that he had and with whatever wattage he is. and then I thought it was moved the story along pretty well. And I liked seeing the whole thing with Silvermane and Mayor and the Chief and all that kind of stuff. So interested to see how that plays out as well.
Nice. All right, Richard.
I wrote I was pleasantly whelmed again because I was like, finally, we got the most Spider-Manning that we've gotten so far. And I really kind of enjoyed it, though it was very, like, not very acrobatic, which, again, I'm like, is this because Nick Cage is like in the costume and he's like 60 something years old and he can't be like on wires swinging around?
Yeah. I am in that meh to... I guess solid meh for me because I wanted to be underwhelmed, honestly, by this episode. I was like, all right, I'm fucking tired of this. I don't want to watch it anymore. I'm done. And then we did get the fight at the end, and I was like, okay, we've got the spider. He's doing stuff, and we've got villains, and they're doing stuff, and everybody's doing stuff now, so that's fun. And then we closed out the ending of the episode the way we did. And I was like, oh, fuck off. I don't want this. Who wants this? I don't want this.
Yeah. I was fine with the ending because I was like, oh, cool. So, it felt like, I was like, well, what about Flint? Like, girl, you moved on quick.
Like, right? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
That was the other thing I meant to say. You called it on the other one as well that, like, her and Flint were going to be a couple. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it seemed that way the way she came up on that skyscraper that was, like, still being built. And she was like, leave us alone. And she was, like, protecting him. And then he is, like, on a rooftop across the, like, her window. And he's, like, staring at her. I thought it was either they were a couple or he, like, loved her, but I thought maybe she was like the wife or girlfriend of Silvermane or something, and he knows he could never be with her or something like that. But turns out no, they were secretly in love, and Silvermane just likes controlling her and all this stuff.
Yeah. since we're there, that is really the whole thing with her, like Silver, like why she wanted to kill Silvermane is because she's tired of being controlled. She made comments about like everything in her life is decided by Silvermane, even down to like where she's living and what's in her apartment. So like she has no life. She's basically a slave to Silvermane and singing at this place.
Yeah. Which that's gotta be rough. I mean, like, but like, you know, it's one of those that kind of seen before with this, especially in this kind of age and this setting of having usually some kind of singer or dancer or something like that, that's under some kind of control. But so that part's kind of been played out a little bit, but it still, I think it still fits what she's trying to do.
Yeah, no, I think it absolutely fits for that. But I was going to say, since you mentioned her being a singer, she does a musical number this time around. And I specifically made a note that this is more in the style of a noir, like song and dance number, not that crazy one that we got in episode one where it was like doing all this crazy stuff. And the beat of the song kind of went up into like almost like a pop style. Like, I don't know. I was like, this is more noir. I don't know what happened on that first episode, but this one was great.
And Nick Cage seemed entranced again. Or Ben Reilly seemed entranced again by the singing, because the whole time Silvermane was trying to talk to him and he's like, are you even listening to me? Mm-hmm. And so it kind of makes you wonder again, like, does Kat, I think Jeremy brought it up in our ass, right. Like, does Kat have superpowers kind of thing?
She could. Yeah. It may just be he finds her really attractive, or I'm saying she's hypno hustler. I'm calling it right here, right now.
Well, you are 2 for 2, so fingers crossed get a Scooby-Doo at the end of this, and she takes off a mask, and it's really Donald Glover behind it. He's like, gotcha, bitch.
You really are the most devious bastard in New York City.
I think I'll shit a brick if that happens. Like, I don't know what I'll do. Like, I'd be like, holy fucking shit.
I'll throw my hands in the air hollering, 5 stars! 5 stars! Whew. A lot of the storytelling in this episode, I just got bored with. Like, here's the backstory of Ruby, and basically like why he's not the spider anymore is the fact that he was sitting there getting drunk when he was supposed to be meeting Ruby for dinner, which I assume is when he was going to propose to her. And so like he wasn't able to get there in time to be able to save her. And she was murdered because of Ben Reilly, because of him. And I was just like, okay, another Peter Parker story.
Yeah, that was very like, okay, she was absolutely supposed to be Gwen, because like that's the whole point of her, is like he tries to save her and he gets like he kills her by not like webbing her up properly. So she hits her head, or now I've forgotten, now she breaks her neck, I think, in the comic. And then in the Andrew Garfield one, she hits her head on the ground. But instead of doing that scene again, they were like, I don't know, make him where he's drunk at a bar or something, and that's the reason why. But being that she was blonde and he's the reason why she's dead, like, or at least he blames himself for the reason why she's dead, I truly believe that she was intended to be Gwen. But again, they were like, you can't have Gwen, or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Well, and like, they probably didn't do the whole, like, neck snapping or head hitting or whatever, because the way they ended this episode as well, because I was like, wait a second, it's a bad move there, Parker, Reilly, whoever you are. That shit doesn't work in other universes,
right? When he did it, I was like, oh fuck, she's dead. That's the end of Kat right there.
For those of you who are listening or whatever, we're talking about the end of the show episode where she's calling out Ben to see if he actually is the spider. She flips herself out of a window and he thwips her the chest and the knees but still that neck, that head's not supported. It's just not. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was waiting. So, but it didn't happen.
I guess she hadn't hit terminal velocity yet, so she wasn't at max speed to break her neck. But yeah.
I blame it on the camera. She was just laying there and the camera was going up, and I was like, well, fuck, she's not moving.
Yeah, probably. That probably is how they filmed that. There was some cool, like, there are some cool cinematography shots. Like, I didn't mention it, but, like, in the first episode, it was the first two episodes that we watched. I can't remember which episode, but there's, like, a shot of Ben, and he's, like, looking up at, like, a penthouse or skyscraper, and it's shot from, like, the bottom up. I don't know. It's just a really cool shot. Like, there's nothing special about it. It just looked really cool. This one, yeah. It's when him and Kat are at some kind of diner or delicatessen. I don't know what it is. But anyway, she's, like, smoking, and there's, like, a reflection of him in the, like, thing behind them. So you could see both of their faces in the shot. I thought that was a cool shot. I thought it was really neat. And again, like with the black and white, the smoke. By the way, I didn't even mention that too last episode. So much smoking in this show. Like at one point, there's a guy smoking in the hospital. And I was like, oh, the good old days when you could just smoke in a hospital.
That is funny.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised they went with so much profanity as well in such a, like in a Spider-Man show.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, believe me, if y'all have heard me, I'm not against profanity, but my son was like, hey, can I watch the Spider-Noir? I'm like, buddy, no, you cannot.
Yeah, Robbie says he's looking for Lonnie, and there's a line where he says, have you seen, like, Lonnie Lincoln? And he describes him. He's like, big motherfucker. Like, and I was like, what the hell? Like, I was just really taken back from that in the show.
Yeah. Yeah. There's several moments like that for me. I'm just like, oh, well, okay then. Cool.
And what's interesting is, like, I don't really remember being that much in the first two episodes because I had my son watch the first or second one with, or I think he went and watched both, but anyways, like I didn't really notice that much in those first two episodes, or else I wouldn't have been watching that with him either. But
yeah, in the first two, I don't think there was.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they've done the reverse. You know, usually like when a TV show starts, it's like flooded all with cussing, nudity, and whatever else, like Game of Thrones. It was real heavy at first. And then it's like, okay, let's turn that shit down. We got them all. We got them hooked. We got them hooked. Let's tone it down.
Yeah.
This show's like the opposite way. It's like, fuck them. Let's keep adding that shit in.
Yeah, it is. It's weird and tonally kind of off, in my opinion. I do recall, like you said, like I'm not one for pearl clutching when it comes to language. Like I don't give a fuck. Like, and. But I remember hearing, I can't remember what the second one was, but I remember hearing the one that I keep wanting to call him Ben because I keep thinking he's Ben Urich. But Robbie, I was like, oh, that's weird. That took me out of this moment of the show. And then I think it's Ben who says something about like, he says like, goddamn or something. I don't know. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah,
but it
yeah,
was
yeah,
just
yeah.
very like, okay, all right, this is weird.
What else happened before we get to the big fight scene? Like, I don't feel like there's a whole lot that actually happened in this episode.
Well, one, so we see Kat and Ben are at the theater that she used to work at. And then Flint shows up there and is kind of like spying on them. And he overhears her telling Ben, I was about to call him Peter as well, that, you know, the origin of Flint or whatever. And that pisses Flint off. And then he goes back to Silvermane and decides to become like a superpowered henchman for Silvermane. The thing that I had issue with that is I was like, Flynn, just shove him off. Like, just like he's talking with Silvermane on his like patio balcony in, at the top floor of a penthouse. He is now the Sandman. He is impervious to bullets. He is super strong. Just shove him off. Your problem's done. Like you've won. You can go back to Felicia and or not Felicia, Cat, and everything's fine.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And like she would probably appreciate that from him as well.
Yeah.
So but there was also the thing of like he feels like he's a monster. And so if he kills Silvermane, is he worried that like he's gonna look even more like a monster? So like is now he just gonna sit there and just okay, that's what I am, that's what I'm gonna be. Fuck it.
Yeah, but like if that's the case, then like joining up with the crew and then becoming like a hired thug is just even more like I don't know. I just was like I feel like it would have been it made more sense for him to like attempt to kill him, but I get it. We're gonna have a bunch of superpowered people like going up, like working for Silvermane, and then Spider-Man's gonna have to fight them.
Could you imagine if we get a Sinister Six here on this the Spider-Noir before we ever get one really who in else? Movies?
Who else? I don't think we're gonna get Sinister Six because I think we're just gonna get those three guys, and then maybe Silvermane will be one. Because I'm wondering still, he's a robot man in the comics. He doesn't start off that way, but by the end, he looks. I meant to show you an image off podcast the other day when we were talking about him, but he looks fucking ridiculous. But he's a robot man in the comics. And I'm wondering if maybe we'll get that or that'll be a stinger or something. I don't know if we're getting a second season, but I feel like Silvermane may end up being some sort of superpowered villain by the end of this just because he's the main antagonist. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he won't be, but
yeah. I hope not, honestly. Like, I like him just kind of being the mob boss.
That's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun for me. So.
Yeah.
And not having like that actor. Really he's do the, a whole lot.
It's Professor
he's
Moody.
That guy that's in Harry. Yeah, I was going to say, you should know, Jeremy. He's in Harry Potter.
Last
one. He's the crazy that's guy.
Cool. Yeah. Mad-Eye Moody.
With the weird
eye?
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah,
huh? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. I like him. That what is it? Goblet of Fire? Yeah.
Yes.
That movie's played out. I that shit's on like TBS, TNT, T whatever. All the T stations all the time.
Well, they usually go through like the whole thing, so you must just catch it right whenever it's on that particular movie.
Yeah. That whenever I had it, it was always on, and I was just like, oh, fuck this movie. I need to see something different, Harry. Yeah. Not this you swimming with gills bullshit again.
So, we kind of skipped over it, but I also wanted to talk about Ben at some point went out drinking with Silvermane, because Silvermane is just so, like, high on finally catching the rat, and he comes in the next day, like, still drunk or something. And it's a really funny scene because he can't get into his office. And Robbie and Janet are sitting there just kind of, like, watching him try to, like, fumble to get in. And he sits down in the chair and he's like, I need some scrambled eggs, sausage, and a biscuit. And I was like, he needs a Waffle House. Were Waffle Houses back, like, were they invented back then? He needs a, this man needs a Waffle House stat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, I liked how Robbie was leaving. And he was like fumbling his hat and his jacket. Mm-hmm. And it was, he couldn't get it on the rack or off. Yeah. And he was dropping it on the floor and making a big mess, and he stopped and he had his stuff in his hand. He looked back, he goes, who am I? I'm you. And walks out. I was like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, I like Robbie giving Ben shit. I think it's funny.
All right, the main event, there was a call about a superpowered being, and Kat and Ben both thought that it was Flint. And so Ben dresses up as a spider, swings on out there, to fight this Sandman. Well, it turns out it's not a Sandman. It's an electrocuting man. And there was a nice little, and he was robbing a fight. He was robbing a bank. What did you say?
I said it was a lightning man.
A lightning man, yes. I like the fight overall. I thought that was like was probably the funnest part of the whole TV show, at least that episode. For me, it was. I was like, cool, we get to see the spider. He's in action. He's getting his ass whipped a little bit, and he's going to have to figure out like how to actually beat this lightning man, what I thought was Electro. And I liked the personality they gave him and how he was like, oh, I've been, you know, almost like, I've been dreaming of this kind of a moment. You know, me and you, the spider, fighting out here on this street, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I like the attitude they gave him and whatnot. So, yeah, I just like the story and the overall fight as it was. There wasn't a whole lot of choreography, but like I said, he was getting his ass kicked a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, the fighting in general was kind of like just low. It looked like a bunch of old men fighting. Like, because like what I'm getting at is when he pulls that sign out and he's just sort of like low energy swinging at him. I don't know if they, I feel like they intended to do that because it's like supposed to be like an old noir style TV show or movie, but
it was very
weird. The clue that I too thought it was Electro, and the reason why I even looked him up was Electro typically, when he discharges his electricity in water, it's usually like a weakness for him. So when he electrifies Ben using the water, I was like, they messed up there. Is this supposed to be Electro? Because I was going to bring it up for the episode and be like, Electro can't do that, blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, oh, no, yeah, it's Megawatt. Okay. Cool, I guess. Like, yeah, exactly.
Who?
Like I said, I heard somebody mention that name before, and I was like, nah, no way. No way. I've never even heard that. They're like I said, that's a Darkwing Duck character. That's not even a thing. And here you are, and you're educating me, and I'm like, oh shit, he was right. Fuck off. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah, I really wish it was Max Dillon, because it would have been at least cooler. But I don't know. It's still electric powers. I do like the actor who's playing him. I like you said, that accent that he's putting on and stuff. I think there's a shot of him from like one of the trailers where he's like, I forget what he says, but he's like, fantastic party you got here or something. I forget what it is. It's a, I don't know, something about it. Like, it just makes my brain go burr. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but it's just, I was like, that's kind of a cool character.
Well, and in the long run, I mean, I thought it was Electro up until I was talking to you. Mm-hmm. So, like, I guess no harm, no foul, really. And, like, I still got to see a cool, like, a guy with cool electric powers. So, I mean, either way, it's a win for me. But yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just kind of crazy. The fact that, like, we can't use this guy technically, but this guy's, like, pretty much the fucking TeamU version of it. Yeah. Let's just do that.
It's just one of those, it's like, well, thank God Marvel made a lot of the same characters with the same powers.
Yes. Yes. That's funny.
It's like, he's not the Sandman, he's the dirt man.
Quicksand? Mud?
No, there is a Mud Man, which is Hydro Man and Sandman combined together.
Oh. That's weird.
Yeah.
How the fuck do we not get a Hydro Man in this show? Like, how is that not a thing?
Probably because it's not ended yet. Maybe we do. Water VFX is like super hard and expensive to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which, I mean, that could explain some of the budget.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, Elemental Signature 6 by the end of this episode or this series, it's happening.
Yeah, maybe. I want a Hypno Hustler. I like the idea of Hypno Hustler. Like you said, Scooby-Doo mask, straight up, like, pulls it right off of Cat Hardy, and it's like, Hypno Hustler, is that you?
I'd have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for this meddling spider.
Cool. Y'all got anything else for this episode?
No, that's it for me, man.
I think I'm good.
Oh, we do got to mention this. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning of this episode that happened at the end of this episode, where Ben saved Kat falling out of the window.
Oh yeah.
Brings Kat back up, and then they have an embrace and kiss, and I was just like, nope, don't care. Don't see it. Don't care. Not for me.
Yeah.
He was definitely infatuated with her. But for her to like move on from Flint to again, I was about to say Pete, to Ben is just weird and fast. I was just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Girl, you move on quick. Like, what are you doing? Like, I just was weirded out by that. I get that, like, it's supposed to be Black Cat and Spider-Man, but yeah, you've established that she's kind of in it with Flint. So I don't know. It's just weird to me.
Yeah, I agree.
I also, there is a part of me that's wondering, one of the things with Black Cat is she will sometimes use her feminine wilds to persuade Peter into doing things for him, or for her, I mean. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if maybe that's what's happening here, is she's like, you know, whatever, batting her eyes at him so that she can manipulate him to do some things as the spider to eventually help her and Flint be together or something. I could see that happening, or rob a bank. I don't know. You know, I don't know what this version of Black Cat is going to do, but I'm assuming it's maybe something. Maybe she can finally get rid of Silvermane and be free, or whatever it is.
Yeah, I would think that would be the start, at least. Mm-hmm. Get rid of Silvermane kind of thing. So, which will probably cause a conflict between Ben. And he'll be like, I gotta, we'll talk to you later, dollface. And she's gotta go, you know, away in the paddy wagon and all that jazz. So.
You see?
You follow? All right, cool. Y'all got anything else?
Nope. No, I'm good.
Awesome. Y'all come back next week. We will not be doing Spider-Noir. We'll finish that up later. We do have to catch up, though, on Time Runs Out. So New Avengers, 4 issues, catching up with all that.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
That took way too long.
I was going to say, I tried dragging it out there for you a little bit. I saw you searching, and I was like, if I could just...
I have too many. I have 4, basically 5 pages of soundboard, and it's a lot to remember where everything is.
Poor GI robot, he's buried in the back. That's bullshit. Cool. Well, in the meantime, Jeremy, where can they find you at?
They can find me on Twitch under the handle Night Fury GTO. It's Night with a K, and you can find me here.
Awesome. Richard, where can they find you at?
If you want to contact me directly, I have an X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram, a Blue Skies, and a Threads. My handle is Night Curry, Night like day and night, and Curry with a K. If you want to contact us directly, we have a Gmail. Our Gmail is comicallycomicspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to check us out on YouTube, possibly TikTok, we'll see, and Instagram, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics Podcast. And if you want to check us out on X, the platform formerly known as Twitter, you can check us out under the name Comically Comics with an X.
Awesome. You can find me on Instagram, eBay, and Shortbox, 22_comics. You can also find me on YouTube at 22comics. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed as much as we did making it. With all that being said, say goodbye, Jeremy.
Bye, Jeremy.
Goodbye, Jeremy. Goodbye.